in one way of speaking, man's journey in his life is to try to find a state of being that is satisfying to him or to her. And that satisfaction, the word satisfaction has a whole lot of components to it, because what satisfies, you know, one won't satisfy another, but the idea is that each one of us are on a trek towards something that satisfies. And to be satisfying, it has to have all of the things that it, you have to be. There has to be sustenance, there has to be pleasure, there has to be joy, there has to be fulfillment, there has to be meaning. All of those things are what constitute the word satisfaction, and it's a kind of a neat word. I mean, it's because it's without satisfaction, you cannot be content. I mean, it sounds axiomatic, but really it's a big deal. If you're not satisfied, contentment is impossible. And so what we've done is we've gone on 1,000 trips, as we studied last time when we studied the prodigal son. We've gone on 1,000 trips to try to find satisfaction. And there's a lot of things that satisfy for a while. And we have to go into the world first to find satisfaction. And we try and we move and we go and we try to find satisfaction in careers or in attainments. We try to find satisfaction in relationships. We try to find satisfaction in work. We try to find satisfaction in drugs or alcohol.
Consumption, kids.
You all know that we try to find satisfaction in 1,000 things, and that's as just as a human being, as not even a believer guy. And then we come along and we say, okay, now I'm a believer. And for a moment, I think if any of you have had any kind of religious experience or earlier religious training, there was a time in which whatever that was satisfying. You were satisfied in prayer and in Bible study, in teaching, praying, even some of the experiences, the charismatic experience, Pentecostal experience, even the act of worship or praise. All those things are the act of service, the act of pouring yourself out to meet somebody else's needs. All those things are good and proper, and they satisfy for a moment. And I think you've all experienced it, am I right? But they don't sustain satisfaction. By none of those things did Christ satisfy God, and he did them perfectly. He didn't satisfy God by feeding the 5,000. He didn't satisfy God by praying all night. He didn't satisfy God by healing the sick. You understand that? Huh?
Wow. I don't think that verse.
Right. If Christ as man could not have communion with God and satisfaction through anything except a spotless offering of his life, so neither can any member of his body. You will never be satisfied. You'll never attain that moment. You'll have moments of satisfaction, we all do. But it can't be sustained in anything other than the same thing that satisfies God, because that's how you were created. Now, can we for a minute, even just for a minute, reject and say, all the stuff that I've tried to do to get satisfaction didn't work?
I can't believe that you just said that.
What?
The reason I can't believe it is that this afternoon, after you and Barbara and I talked, it dawned on me why I go on these crazy trips and why I put all this energy into trying to get this list of crap done. It's too easy to say, oh, so you'll be pleased or that stuff. It's not that. It's chasing after a moment in which I can say God is satisfied the people around me are satisfied, and I'm satisfied.
Okay.
And then you just said, I can't. It's cool.
You can't. That won't work. Am I communicating to anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, every life experience that we have shows us. The other thing we try to gain satisfaction from is eating. That's the obvious one, right?
Yeah, you get a nice full tummy, you know.
And you feel satisfied.
Yeah, but then last one.
Then you get hungry again.
Yeah, you gotta get hungry again.
Okay.
You gotta get just the right, you know, oh, I didn't eat enough. And you overstuff and it's like, oh, that's too much. You know, I'm trying to get that.
The happy medium.
Yeah.
You've been
there. That kind of feeling like.
Since we were talking about this food idolatry, I've never seen how, like, that's the latest thing in society.
Yeah, everywhere you look,
food,
there's like, either concern for the nutritional value, the concern for weight problems, anorexia, nervosa, bulimia. It's everywhere in the world. It's not just in America. It's the Holy Spirit telling us to apprehend the peace offering, to transform this eating into an act of worship.
Use of the peace offering.
Yeah. But anyway, let's go on. If we try to gain satisfaction in our experiences, in relationships, in marriages, in service, in study, in anything, it's in the scriptures, I'll show you in a minute, but it's in the scriptures as if you're trying to feed on a garment. Because all of these things spiritually are your garments. Do you understand? Your clothes. And if you try to gain sustenance from these things, then spiritually you're eating your clothes. Now, it takes someone that is incredibly starving before they'd eat their clothes. Right?
Yeah.
Let's look at that. Anyone who seeks his satisfaction in attainments or in all of these other areas, he does exactly that. For in the Old Testament, the garments are the symbol of the man's actions and character and deportment. And so if that's your instrument of satisfaction, you're just like a priest that decided he was going to eat his clothes. Now, let's just look at a couple of them. Go to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. There's 1,000 of these, but I'm going to just show you one. And sometimes it's good stuff, sometimes it's bad stuff. And verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, and violence covers them as a garment. So we could look, if you're interested, go through and search out all the scriptures about garment, and you'll see that the garments are either, it doesn't matter whether they're positive or negative, they're the things that man does are the garments. And if you try to gain satisfaction from what you do or any of the things that we talked about, then it's as though you're eating the garment. Can you understand that? Does everybody understand it? I don't want to... Okay. Now, garments cannot satisfy as food. There's examples, you know, in life when people try to eat the garments. I remember reading the book about a group I can't even remember what their names are. What's somebody that goes on a frontier?
These
guys were in there was a wagon train.
It's like the Donner Party.
Oh, the Donner Party.
Yeah.
And two or three of the people in the Donner Party survived at up above Lake Tahoe. But, I mean, it was one of the worst disasters in the movement west. And in the survival process, people started out, they began to melt snow, and then they try to boil the garments to give it some, the water, some taste. And then they try to cut the garments into small pieces so there'd be bulk. And then they started to eat the people that were had died. I mean, that's... I hope you can see that picture. I don't want to proceed more on that one.
So getting sustenance from activity or doing what
and then getting sustenance from someone else's life is as if eating the dead flesh. You understand that?
So if you couldn't eat your own garments, then you would proceed to that? Is that like when you try to do yours first and then that?
Then you proceed to flesh eating somebody else's dead flesh. It is the meat offering alone of the altar that satisfies, and if you eat of that meat, you will never hunger. It's the only thing in the universe that was made, that you were made to be satisfied by, is this peace offering. Now, that's why Christ said, I have food to eat, I have meat to eat that you know not of. That's why he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood if you are to be my disciple. It's the only thing that will sustain you is this peace offering. Now, remember, the peace offering is the last offering in the day. It was given after all of the waters of purification offerings were given. It was given after all of the demands of the trespass offering had been given. It was given after all the demands of the sin offering had been given. It was given after the demands of God and the burnt offering were given. It was given after the demands of meeting the needs of your fellow man and the meat offering was given. The last one was the peace offering. And in it, God fed, Christ fed, the priests fed, the priest's children fed, the offerer fed, and the offerer's children fed, and the offerer's friends fed. And it sustained them forever. Where are you? You seem like you've...
I don't know. I mean, I got floored by the thing about the garments.
Okay, so you understand, you got floored because you were eating garments.
Yeah, and also trying to cover, it's not the idea of eating, it's the idea of that the activities are garments. I'm trying to cover myself, trying to cover my nakedness with activity. I think that's what you're really
doing. Okay, does everybody understand? I don't want to continue if you don't understand. Do you understand it?
I started thinking about Passover.
It's a good thing to think about.
It would suffice us.
And also, as you said that, I was sitting here and I was thinking that I have a feeling, and it's because you're here, I have a feeling of rest. One of the things about you coming through the door tonight that I saw for the first time is this thing about if you can't come and go here, then this is a prison, it's a cage. And I have believed, until tonight, I didn't really realize this, but I have believed that you cannot come and go, and that I couldn't come, that nobody could come and go.
Everybody can but you.
Right, but but going is like an evil thing. I had believed that. And something has happened that I see that's not the case. It's not the truth. And I'm sitting here enjoying a feeling of being at rest, of completion, of something. I don't know how to say it more than that, but it's a really pleasant. I think a big part of it is if people cannot come and go, then that proves that we don't believe what we say we believe. It means that it's some little local system that has to be imposed on people.
It's a
as opposed to the truth.
So you can have just as much joy in a person leaving as them coming back, because it's the same thing.
Cool.
Yeah, it's out of time.
It's exactly the same point.
It's kind of a long version of what we do, like, you know, when people leave on a trip, you know, how you're excited for them while they're there, and, you know, just because you've laid hands on them, and, you know, and then they come back, and you're just as excited, and you want to hear all about it, and that kind of stuff.
And also, I mean, I just run on for a minute here, but I'm also sitting here, and I'm thinking about the people that that I think about that have left in my life, that have left. And sometimes I think about them, and I think, I wish they would come back, or I wish I would see them again, or something. Mm-hmm. And there's just something neat about it. It's like seeing you is like seeing all...
Well, it does depend on how they leave, though.
He left. I mean, we have the two... He left in the worst possible state, snuck off in the middle of the night, said every bad thing in the universe about me to anyone that would listen.
When he came back,
there was no joy then. No, there's only joy in the laying out of hands.
Right.
Because that's what transforms it, because then you are a partaker of the revelation you know the Holy Spirit will provide on that journey.
Right.
But if you go like Rick did, then all the Holy Spirit can do is fight against you.
Right.
You don't want to make the Holy Spirit your enemy.
No. And I should be proof of that.
I can see that I've spent a long time trying very hard to believe, but I haven't believed. I've been trying to believe, but I haven't believed. And there's just a feeling in me tonight that God's in charge.
You can afford to believe now.
Yeah, God's in charge.
You better be.
Yeah, it was like,
a long answer, but that's me.
You know, I think of First Fruits. You know, when I went through First Fruits this time, it was the first time I really heard, you know, these are the things, if you want to accept this stuff, these are the things that will pull you out of the pit. You don't have to do them. You know, you're not going to be thrown out. You're going to be, you know, you're here, you're fine.
Well, everybody, you would have been thrown out if you didn't do it.
Well, I didn't feel that. I mean,
anyway, I was just a little joking poo, as somebody would say. Again, we were created to be satisfied with the same thing that God is satisfied with. And I promise you, nothing in the universe other than that will satisfy you. If you have consciousness of wrongs that you've done or are doing, then the farthest you can get on the trek is to the trespass offering. If you think how bad and how evil you are and you can't get it back, then all farthest you can get on the trek is a sin offering. If you think that you're obligated to do this and this for the mankind, then all the farthest you can get is the meat offering. If you think you have this great obligation and vows to God, then as farthest you can get is the burnt offering. But if you know that all those things have been satisfied by one offering, Christ, then you can partake of the same thing that satisfies God, the meat offering, the peace offering. That's why the study of the offerings is so critical, because you can't know that without seeing the offerings. The New Testament says, by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. What the hell does that mean? It means that Christ, in his person, totally took on every aspect, the goal being, at the highest we can know, is the peace offering. And as soon as a body, I know this with everything in me, as soon as a body of people apprehend the peace offering, since it's the last one in the day, then it can't be very far behind until the purpose of time is finished.
Black holes.
Huh?
Black holes coming.
Now this is true communion. This is what the word communion and fellowship mean. Koinonia in the Greek. Do you see, if you're worried about whether you're accepted or not, then as far as you can get is to some other, you know, you're way, Your joy is dependent on the depth of the offerings that you apprehend. It has nothing to do with external circumstances.
I've been eating at the Laird a little bit more at lunch, and I've really enjoyed it. I mean, it's transformed eating. I mean, the food is not the center of the deal. I mean, with your work eating, I mean, you just, in my case, I was just eating. It served only one function to fill up your body. I mean, here, you know, it's just fellowship, and it transforms eating into something a lot more.
Can you understand this thing? If you're concerned, let's go through these offerings again. It's really critically understand this. You've already been, you right now, this instant, you can share in the peace offering. You can be that communion. You can share in that satisfaction, that experience. It's your mind where you're an enemy. You understand? Because by one offering, he has perfected it forever. If you feel guilt about some particular acts or actions that you are taking or have taken in the past, then you cannot get past the trespass offering. If there's hidden guilt, if you feel guilt, if you don't think you're worthy, then you cannot get past the sin offering. Now, hear me. You can't get past the sin offering without the cross. You seeing the cross makes your life, you know, then is Christ. Okay, now we're at this point. Now we can walk into the temple. The other offerings are outside the camp. Now we can begin the process. Okay, we've gotten in here, but now we have this great duty to our fellow man. You can't get to the peace, you can't get to the meat offering as long as you think you have this great duty to fellow man. To anybody, do you understand? To anybody else, if you feel like you have that duty, you cannot eat the meat offering, because the meat offering satisfies every demand that any man could have on any other man. Okay, so you get that. Then you're faced with, well, do I believe that I have a duty to God? Well, if you believe you have a duty to God, you cannot eat the burnt offering, or you cannot get past the burnt offering. Now, some of this sounds pretty revolutionary. But if you see that your duty to fellow, your man, the mankind has been met, if you see that the duty to God has been met, then you can partake of the greatest mystery of all time. You can partake of the peace offering. And one taste of the peace offering, and you'll never be satisfied with anything else. Now let's go to Hebrews 6 and see if we can now make sense of Hebrews 6. Well, I had a... it's just to get, we've been having our first fruit offerings, as you know. And this last weekend was the Duncan Buckner group. And the Dunker Bunkin group.
Yeah, the Dunker Bunkin group.
The Dunkers.
Brought several people into the first fruit offering who were in a state that I couldn't even believe it. And so this is what we had a chat. And this is what, starting chapter 5, Hebrews 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. We forget that one. Christ couldn't suffer. We think he suffered just the one time.
But that almost sounds like there was something he had to do, obedience.
because of your perverted view of what obedience means.
I'd go for that.
Hear me. In English, obedience means Sherry licked the floor. If Sherry didn't lick the floor, she's disobedient.
Right.
That's not what it is. The word obedience in the Hebrew and in the Greek means something totally different. It means to hear the word of God under whatever circumstance you find yourself. Understand?
Is that the same as when you say that, to go kick the wall?
Sort of. God, yeah, we can. I was just, for Sherry, it should be lick the floor instead of kick the wall.
It's customized.
It's, you see, what you have to do is you have to translate that into a thing that she would cause somebody else to do. All right. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect. Now, the word perfect is another word. That, again, in our English, the word perfect means unattainable. The word perfect in the Greek is the Greek word teleos, and it means fully tested. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Again, obey. Obedience. Yeah. Hearing under is obeying. Knowing that God is in whatever circumstance you find yourself is obeying. That's why you can go in and out. That's why you trust that whatsoever state you find yourself, God is the author of it. It's only your response to that state that defines whether you're in obedience or not. If you use sorcery, then no matter how much you have a beatific smile on your face, you are not in obedience. If you try to maneuver to get out, to change, to, you're not in obedience because you're not hearing that this is the word of God. That situation that you found yourself in, that's perfect obedience. No, that's not what we're going to study, though. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation and all them that obey him. Now you can understand what obedience means. Call of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. This is the speech I gave to that other group of teachers. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, soul and spirit. You understand? Again, because you have a definition of good and evil.
Yeah.
What's God's definition of evil? Iniquity. Evil, iniquity, same thing, self-seeking. God says, remember, we went through this the other night. I form light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
So I don't understand why there's a difference, good and evil. I mean, it would seem to be all the same thing.
If it said that, would you understand it?
I don't understand it now.
Okay, well, therefore, leaving the principles, now here's where we are. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. The heavenly gift that they taste is the peace offering. Until someone tastes the peace offering, the rest of this is impossible. What I'm talking about, listen to the rest of it. And have tasted the good word of God, Wait a minute. Have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and of the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. You have to taste it. You have to have partaken of the peace offering. If you partook of the peace offering and then rejected it, I mean, I can't even think of someone that stupid. Understand? Okay.
If you take it, it's like you become it.
Yeah, you can't reject it. If we believe in God, then we must begin to be concerned. We must be able to speak the same things, think the same things, find satisfaction in the same things as God does. That's what he wants of us. The only thing I can do tonight is give you a hunger for the peace offering.
So I had an ordeal down. I was sitting talking to just a diversity of people with religious Rastafari or something, Christian, just downtown. And just about everything that you said, I found myself saying, but it was indifferent. It was indifferent work, it was just identical thing. Because I sit and ask myself, seriously, why I couldn't come and eat around the table. And I saw it's because of my gentleness. You know, and because of my judgments, I can't do it. And it's not just the physical, the peace offering. What we sit, that's just the physical.
I want you guys to understand freedom like you've never understood it before. He will it and do it. You don't have to even worry about whether anything happens. I can't tell you that enough.
I'm just overwhelmed by that. I mean, God's in charge.
He will it and do it in you. You can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth.
What are you worried about?
Or when you think, if a man thinketh himself to be nothing, I mean something when he is nothing. I mean, again, the predicate of all this is that you're the I am state. You're free. You're his. You're his. Whether you're his darling infant, your adolescent, the young man, you're whatever you are, you're his. You don't have to worry about it. And you rest.
It was weird because nobody knew what the fuck I was saying.
That's right.
But I knew what I was saying. The more I was saying it, I was going, oh man, that's a fucked up. Because I started seeing what I'm doing. Because I kept saying, whatsoever state you find yourself in,
be content. Went to be content.
But what about if you. What about this?
If you're hanging by your thumbs in a 20 degree below.
Used to in CBs, when CBs were popular. You remember Citizen Band?
Oh, yeah.
Those used to be popular. They had an expression for somebody who was in the middle. You know, you had one guy leading and one guy behind. And the person in the middle was the rocket chair. And I thought about that when you were talking the other morning at breakfast about, you know, I've been crucified to the world and the world has been crucified unto me. That just made sense to me because, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, he was talking about, you know, how the past is taken care of, the future is taken care of because we've been crucified to the world. The world's been crucified to us. We're in the rocking chair. We're just
rocking along.
Yeah, we're just rocking along, you know.
And singing this song.
Yeah.
You didn't do it Sunday night, though, did you? Because we had a visit.
What song was it that he was singing?
That's the one that's...
No, he was singing one of our church songs.
That's what it is. Rocking along with a lullaby. Oh, Israel, close your eyes. Oh, Israel, don't you cry.
He was
rocking along with a lullaby.
I thought Jackie was
humming his song, nothing can go wrong. Holy Israel, close your... You're not even going to do it now?
Come on,
Lord. All of a sudden, Gary's got passion.
Nothing can go wrong.
Anybody have any response to the peace offering?
Wow. It's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, major wow.
Wow.
Awesome. I saw it.
It's kind of like you can make this big leap.
I feel like a great ate a huge warm marshmallow.
But all we know is that God, if it's finished and God is all and in all, then if we try to force our ideas on somebody else, we deny what the thing that we say we believe. I mean, all we have to do is be. There was a guy that visited today, or a couple guys that visited. In both cases, well, one is sort of hesitant, but this guy that you brought, I have never seen someone know he was home quicker in my entire life. I mean, I don't know if he's going to do anything about it.
Didn't it feel that way, though? I mean,
but he's some guy from KBIL. I mean, within 3 seconds of me seeing him, I knew he knew that he was home. I mean, not do anything about it. But then if we speak now, or if you try to speak, to cause something, some action to transpire, like if you think that I asked you to bring people to the lair in order to get them to join the foundation, then you missed the point. I asked you to bring people to the lair so that you would be publicly identified with the doctrine, let God's business happen then. So it's imperative that you don't now try to revert to the con.
Yeah, well, the people I'm bringing wouldn't go for that anyway. Yeah.
He saw it. He saw the day of Christ. He saw it. But he didn't see it by the flesh.
Right.